Well, good day to you, brethren, wherever you might be on this morning. I have a privilege today to speak to you from Toronto, Canada, once again. Appreciate the opportunity. I'd like to be able to see all your smiling faces, but that'll have to keep for another occasion. I want to start off the sermon here by giving you my title right off the bat, so you'll know exactly where I'm going, what I'm going to be discussing. The title of the sermon is Keeping Your Faith Strong. Now, when you consider the days in which we live, you consider what we're having to contend with. How do we keep our faith strong? How do we do that? Because it's going to become very important as we move along here in time, in this end time, as things tend to pile up that are all sorts of disasters going on around us. Look at what happened since January. You know, I was thinking about the fact that everything that we need or want is at our fingertips, you know, modern mankind. Isn't it amazing? If you want a drink, just go and turn the tap on. If you want food, you go to your cupboard. You go to the refrigerator. If you want music, you turn the radio on. If you're cold, you turn up the heat. If you're too warm, you put on the air conditioner. Everything is there. Right? We have so many gadgets, but you don't have to get up and do anything anymore. Look at our young people. Every gadget, every device you can imagine, they've got it. But one of the dangers of this type of living, or this kind of living, comes complacency and the acceptance of it all. Young people accept all these conveniences and all the things that they have at their fingertips. They just expect it. That's life. It's normal. It's not for us, is it? We've been through a lot of different things over many, many years, and we know what it's like. Let's look at the parable here to begin with on this sermon. Let's look at the parable of the 10 virgins. Now, this is a very familiar parable to all of us, but I want to take a look at it with a couple of things a little bit different, perhaps. And you know what, brethren? There's a few warnings in this for us, for you and me. This parable of the 10 virgins is describing the difference between those who are diligent and those who are lazy. And if that description doesn't fit this parable, then it doesn't fit any. But that's exactly how it strikes me. Matthew 25. You know the area. Matthew 25. And let's look at verse 1. And remember, these are the words of Jesus Christ. And he says, and then shall the kingdom of God be compared to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now the lamp can be the word of God, because scripture says, your word is a lamp unto my feet, and your statutes are a light unto me. So they went out to meet the bridegroom, and five of them were wise, and five of them were foolish. The ones who were foolish took their lamps, but they did not take any extra oil with them. And the lamp symbolizes the bride of the Bible, I'm sorry, and the oil symbolizes the Holy Spirit. They were not using the Word of God, along with the Holy Spirit, to develop the character that they would need. Same thing applies to us. And they had no reserves in place, nothing. Now, it's important to understand that we need reserves as well, and we'll talk about that in a second. Verse 4. But they took oil in their vessels along with the lamps. That's the wise ones did. A vessel means a container, a bottle. They had a bottle of extra oil with them so that when they needed it, they could pour it into their lamps. And as a lamp burns, it uses up oil, just natural, obviously. And it is something for us to remember, because the Spirit of God needs to be renewed day by day. Think about that. You know how important that is to do your prayer. Don't we need to be renewed every Sabbath day? Yes, we do. That's why the Sabbath day is probably the most important day of the week. We need to be renewed every day. If we don't get renewed every day before God, we don't have a very good day, and we get run down spiritually, and we can't let that happen. Renewed every day. That's what the oil in the lamp is all about. Verse 5. Now when the bridegroom was gone a long time. Now the bridegroom went away and stayed a long time. And what happened? What was the frame of mind of the disposition? They became drowsy and they slept. And you know, brethren, you're thinking about Christ's return and the events that are leading up to it. I think that many people in the churches right now are at this particular point. We've been looking for the return. We've been doing this. We've been doing that. And when's it going to happen? I'm getting weary and I'm getting tired. I'm having to wait. And I think many people are at that point. Many leaders, and we have lots of things that are saying that we've got lots of time. And other leaders are more cautious. And they say, let's get prepared. Let's not be too hasty. Let's just get ourselves prepared. Let's be ready. Mr. Armstrong was on fire all the time, as you know, admonishing and warning us, always saying that, you know, the time is short. It's going to be here. He was saying that, you know, on the World Tomorrow tapes we listened to 30 years ago. But it's still close. It's still next day for us, perhaps, the next minute for us. We don't know. Some people will say, well, you know, I don't have time for prayer and study. I'm kind of slowing down a little bit. And I've heard that from some people. But you know what, Brent? That's like saying, God, you saved me, but I don't have any time for you. However, when trouble comes, I expect you to rescue me. Some people feel that way. It doesn't work like that. You don't bargain with God. Verse 6. In the middle of the night, there came a cry. And usually in the middle of the night, you're in a deep sleep, right? And when you wake up with a start, so to say, whoa, what's happening? What's going on? You're not quite awake yet. Comprehend the noise. This illustrates, certainly to me it does, the fact that things will happen when you least expect it. We should always be prepared for the unexpected, because you never know what's coming at you. The cry went out saying, look, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. And then all the virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. Over the years, there have been certain events occurring, mentioned, that never came to pass. Remember 1975? There were other occasions as well. All the more reason to be constantly and continually vigilant, waiting for God to show us. Not for man to show us, for God to show us. And be determined to hang on and hang in there. Never give up. Never look away from the prize that we want, the kingdom of God. Verse 7. Then all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And likewise in the church, we have to be ready. Very ready, especially in these days. That's why I mentioned my title, Keeping the Faith Strong. Verse 8. The foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, because our lamps are going out. The only way you retain oil in your vessel as a Christian is to pray and study and live God's way every day. And that doesn't mean you're not going to have troubles. We know that we do regardless. Because it says that they all slept. And they were all slumbered and they were all drowsy. And then verse 5 mentions that when the bridegroom was gone, they became drowsy and slept. You kind of think, well, they kind of lost touch with the intensity that they had to have. Well, not all of them. This is showing us that everybody has problems, but you don't have to let them drag you down. No, we don't. We consider, we understand, we wait, we're patient. We can't change events anyway. That's why I don't get stirred up and riled up about things happening in the world. I can't change it. I can only change my response, how I look at things. But when the foolish saw that they had used up all their oil, they wanted to get it from the wise. You remember this story. But it doesn't work that way. Verse 9. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there not be enough for us and you. But instead, you go to the ones who sell and you buy for yourselves. That means and shows us very graphically, it is an individual Christian's responsibility for everyone who has the Spirit of God as a true Christian to be responsible for their own lives. You're responsible for your life, your thinking, your actions, and so am I. You can't rely on anyone else dragging you into the kingdom of God. That just does not work. There is no minister that can do that. You have to trust God to lead you by His Spirit to make your own decisions. And that's great. That takes the worry out of it for me. I don't have to worry. God's there. I've got His Spirit. He'll lead, He'll guide, He'll direct. You know, I have no doubt that as many things become more difficult for us in this end time, there will be some people coming to the church or maybe back to the church or wondering as they see things unfold and have a memory of what they were taught and told. I think some are going to come and say, help me. What I want to understand. Teach me. I missed out. I didn't pay attention. I wasn't diligent. Well, we can try, obviously, and we will where the opportunity presents itself with God's help. But will they be diligent and listen? I hope so. There's going to come a day when this will apply to those Protestants who are expecting to be raptured away, and those many in the Church of God expecting to go to a place of safety. That becomes something that's on the minds of so many people. They don't understand what it means, the place of safety, or what it means, who decides who's going to be there. Some whole congregations think they're all going. Fine, I hope they do. But it's a lack of understanding, a lack of humility, a lack of depth of their character. Verse 10, when the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went out to meet him, and they went into the wedding feast, and the door was shut. There's finality for you. When the tribulation begins, people are going to say, I thought I was going to be raptured away. I know of one family that's waiting. They said to me, we won't have to go through the worst of what's to come because we're going to get raptured away. Nice thought, I guess, but I didn't argue about it. And others are going to say, I thought I was off to a place of safety. What's happening? Verse 11. And afterwards, the other virgins came saying, Lord, Lord, open. I guess they went to buy their oil. They came and said, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he answered, truly I say to you, I don't know you. What a shocker that would be. You have got to live your life so that God can say, I know you. God knew Abraham, didn't he? We know that story. He also knew Daniel. He knew Daniel and his friends, and he knew so many others. And he also knew Mr. Armstrong. But here's my question. Does he know you? And does he know me? And if he does, what does he know about you and me? That's a sobering thought, something to think about. God sees all, knows all. We've got to make sure we're in the right groove here, spiritually speaking, in our lives. Well, you know, you'll know them by their works. He will know you by your works. He will know you by the fruits in your life. And if you wait until the last minute to become ready, oh, I'm going to sneak in the door at the last minute. Doesn't work like that. And if you don't prepare it the way you should, the last minute will come, the last minute will be upon you, and the door will close, spiritually speaking. That's sobering, that parable. It's not just a nice little story that we go through every now and again. What do we do between then and now? What do we do between then and now? What do we expect? We don't know how much time there is left. But what is our attitude toward growing and overcoming? Remember, there is no coasting along to the finish line. It requires constant effort and drive and diligence. We have to be prepared and trust God with everything. And that is where having a strong faith comes into the picture. If you're going to be trusting God in everything, as the walls come in closer on us, as disasters happen, problems develop, you've got to have trust and faith, and you've got to have it strong, or you won't stand. Let's look at some scriptures. Now, we've looked at these before over the years in different sermons, and it was a warning and a call to repentance and action, the ones we're going to look at.
for those people at that time. But prophecies, prophecies live down through time, don't they? What applied then applies now. Especially when we consider who Israel is in prophecy. Now, why do we need a strong faith? Why? Well, some of the things I just mentioned, but let's look at the Jeremiah chapter 7 and verses 1 and 2. Jeremiah 7 verses 1 and 2. See what we can read here. Jeremiah 7 verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim to them this word and say, hear ye the word of the Lord, all of Judah that enter at these gates to worship the Lord. We can take, you know, we can take that thought and superimpose it upon America and Britain and Canada, where we have the largest number of Sunday churchgoers. Verse 3, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Back in that, back the day when this was spoken by Jeremiah, they had to amend their ways, falling away from God. What about now? Does the world have to amend its ways? Do the Protestants have to amend their ways? Do we have to continually amend our ways and our doings? Remember that before God does anything, he gives a chance for repentance. Always gives a warning. That's what this is. Amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Verse 4, it says, do not trust in lying words. And is that not true today in this society? If you follow the political and religious scene, they say today you don't have to do anything. The law is done away with. Or a political party says, we're the best for you. We can bring change. We can bring happiness. We can bring all the wonderful things that you want. They've tried that. It doesn't work because God's completely out of the picture. And some churches say, just don't worry about it. The law, forget it. Just come and be with us and we'll be raptured. How sad is that, brethren? How sad is that to teach that to people? There's one family I know I'm very close to. And I said, where do you get this doctrine? Well, I know what I believe. I say, but where is it? Well, they get confused and use a lot of silly reasons why they believe it. They believe it because it's what they want. Continuing in verse 4, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. Verse 5, if you thoroughly amend your ways, not just amend your ways, but thoroughly amend your ways and doings, if you thoroughly execute judgment between man and his neighbor, if you oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, and never walk after other gods to your hurt, then I will cause you to dwell in this place, in this land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. What a beautiful, wonderful thing to say. Comforting. Even back then, when there's situations occurring, they were straying. Are we not straying today in our modern land? Are our institutions farther away from God than they ever were? The hearts and minds of people, God doesn't even enter the picture. Not at all. People don't want to talk about God. It's a bad word. We don't say that around here. What do we have then with these verses? What do we have here? All of these things are sins that they were committing, doing, and there are very sins that are happening today. Very things that are happening today. Like I said earlier, prophecy lives down through history. Verse 8. So how bad is it going to get? How bad is it going to get? Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will you steal? Will you murder? Will you commit adultery? And will you bear false witness? Will you burn incense unto Baal and walk after other gods whom you know not? And then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. Isn't that something? That's an incredibly powerful, powerful verse. The way people think, I can do whatever I want. I don't have to have any constraints on me, and I'll be fine. Because I was told that by the leader, by the group, the church, whomever. Unbelievable. Brethren, that is why we must be diligent and obeying God in everything, so that we will be prepared as the wise virgins were. And our faith must be strong. And if your faith is strong, you will be able to maintain your equilibrium and maintain your relationship with God because you have prepared spiritually. How often have you heard us say that in the last period of time, months, years? Get ready, get ready, get ready. Does it become redundant like the two trees to our hearts and minds sometimes? No, it shouldn't be. Because I've got to get ready every day. Remember what I said about being renewed every day? Being renewed every Sabbath? Being renewed on the holy days? Being renewed, being renewed. Our society would not know what to prepare for. It hasn't been trained. And you know, brethren, it is very dangerous. It's very dangerous for the greater churches of God that preach, that some have, not putting them down, I'm just saying that what they're doing, some of the preaching, is dangerous. Because they tell people, and have some have, that they don't believe Mr. Armstrong was an apostle or the Elijah to come. That's dangerous ground to be on. When you teach that, what happens to people? Well, the followers of those leaders, they start believing the same thing. And saying, yeah, I always wonder about that. Yeah, Mr. Austin's gone a long time. We just don't know. Can't be sure. What he's saying makes a lot of sense. Does it really? They say that, and then the followers start believing it as well. And Mr. Armstrong is then thrown under the bus and forgotten. I'm not going to forget him or what he taught or his legacy. Not at all. That's where the truth came from, through Christ. That's what we follow. That's what we listen to. When he speaks today, we hear the World Tomorrow programs and sermons. It's as relevant today as it was back then, 30, 40, 50 years ago. But as events come to pass, some few have, obviously, we need a concentrated effort to grow in the spiritual understanding, and we have to be strong. We grow in strength spiritually in our understanding, and we have to recognize that the strength that we have was given to us. The strength I have and what little faith I have, it's not what I want it to be. That didn't come from me. I can't work it up. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And let's look at verse 6. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. Wherefore I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift that is in you by the putting on of my hands. God has given us his Holy Spirit, but it is something that must be used. It must be worked. It needs to be stirred up and constantly renewed, right? Every day. You miss some days of prayer, and how does your day go? You think, well, I can miss another one tomorrow? All right, you're only going to sink further. And as we don't have that intensity and that sense of urgency, we can think to ourselves, well, I don't need to. I'm fine. Oh, no, you need to even more. Constantly renewed, day after day, week after week. As I mentioned, that's why we have the Sabbath every week. We need it. Because, brethren, spiritual things do not remain in a physical mind without the Spirit of God. Right? Spiritual things do not remain in a physical mind without the Spirit of God. So you stir up the Spirit, the gift of God that's in you. You have it. Others don't have it. We can stir it up. We can garner strength from it with Christ working through our hearts and minds, developing his mind. Developing his thinking. Important stuff here, brethren, as this world winds down, as this end time comes closer and closer. Verse 7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of a sound mind. Well, that's something that I sure want to have, a sound mind, a thinking mind, a mind that's clear, tied to God. It may be difficult for some people when fearful things happen, right? But of all people, we have nothing to fear, as they say, but fear itself. Because he has given us power and love and a sound mind. That is something that we do daily through prayer, study, and through yielding to God, through living God's way. And all of that combined gives us the spiritual strength of faith and the ability to see the problems that come along for what they are. That's how it works. We cannot get discouraged, as some have and some are in the churches. Say, well, why did God let that happen? How come God let this happen? Well, you've heard that argument, those questions over the years by everybody in society. How come God let my child die? Well, that means he let millions of others die. You know, this doesn't make sense when you say that, but we get hurt. We've got to keep our faith strong and trust in God to work everything out. How's it going to work out with all the various things occurring today? Lots of things on the horizon that could be a little scary. I'm not frightened. I can't change it. I can't change people's hearts and minds. All I know is I've got to hang on. Hang on. Let's see what David did. Let's see what David did here. What a wonderful example he is. A man of faith, a man who was a man after God's own heart. Psalm chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceases. The faithful among us, the faithful fail, I'm sorry, from among us, the children of men. They speak vanity, every one of his neighbor, with flattering lips and a double heart do they speak. Again, that typifies this society as well, doesn't it? Absolutely. And you know, most of the world, well, I think we all know this, most of the world lives in a make-believe reality, created by television, created by movies, and created and encouraged along by the lies, the blatant lies and distortions in our society. When reality hits, what are they going to do? I don't know. But it's going to come, and it's going to hit them. Well, here's what God is going to do. Notice verse 3. This is more important. What's God going to do? Verse 3. The Lord shall cut off the flattering lips and the tongue that speaks proud. And you know, politically speaking, our nations are failing. Totally failing. It's a disaster. And will only continue to get what they ultimately deserve for leaving God in the dust. Verse 4 and 5. Who have said with our tongues, we will prevail, and our lips are our own? Who is Lord over us? What arrogance. The oppression of the poor, the sighing of the needy. Now, why arise, says the Lord, I will set him in safety from him that puffs up. That is punishment. That, or at least that's why punishment coming to our people. Lying lips, puffed up, hypocrites, wrong thinking. Well, it's scary, isn't it? That's the scary part, what people are like, what the world's become. Verse 8, the wicked walk on every side when the vilest of men are exalted. Isn't that so true? Vile men, evil men, they applaud them, they smile, they're happy. You ever see these political rallies, you know, the things they're having in the States now, the caucus meetings, the trying to get delegates and so on. The people are going crazy. Let's see what we need to do to make a strong, determined, spiritual and mental effort. Psalm 108. And you know what happens in the world parallels what happens in the church. Or what happens in the church parallels what happens in the world. All the same thing. Because because of that, people have been hurt mentally, spiritually, and they've been hurt by hypocrites and by deceivers. And many of you listening have also had your moments over the years of situations that have occurred where you've been hurt, traumatized in some respects by what you've been told, how you've been treated. We all know what that's like. We've been through it. That doesn't change my focus, and I throw out religion completely and everybody else because they don't appeal. They made me hurt. They caused me stress. No. We've got to have a right, wrong perspective here. Psalm 108, verse 1. O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise, even with my glory. That's where strength is going to come from. It will only come from God. God is always true, and God is always right. Remember that. Always true, always right, and he'll never fail. He never has. God is the one who will protect you, and watch over you, and strengthen your faith, whatever the circumstances. Verse 12, 13. Give us help from trouble, for vain are the ways of is the help of man. Through God we shall do valiant, for it is he that shall tread down our enemies. Yeah, we can't do it. Only God can do it. He reserves the right to take revenge, and he will. I thought about a situation of a company I worked for years ago. The man was a terrible individual, really. His God was money, and he milked the company dry in many respects. But one of the people, or a number of the people, said to me, when's this going to change? When's he going to change? When's he going to be out of here? When's all this going to turn around? You said it would turn around. It did, eventually. But I said, yeah, it will come in time. And when it came like a hurricane. He lost the business, lost his home, lost everything. All right, well, there you go. It does come back to bite you. And God knows how to punish the evildoers. The final victory is going to be through Christ. God has called you. He has dealt with you. He wants you in his kingdom. And that is promised to happen because he has not called you in vain. He has called us to do what pleases him, regardless of everything that is around us. That's why we were called to do a job, to get prepared, to become teachers, and to do what pleases him. So let's get on with it. Let's think about that. Get our hearts and minds ready. Regardless of what's happening in our society as it falls apart. Doesn't matter. We can't change it. We can't influence it. We can only change and influence ourselves with God's help. Psalm chapter 12. I'm just having trouble seeing this, brethren. Bear with me. Yeah, sorry. Psalm 112. Sorry. Little slip of the tongue there. In verse 7. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. That's you, isn't it? That's me, I hope. If it's not, we better get it there. It has to be trusted, faith and confidence. God's there. He's my strength. He's my redeemer. I can make it. I'm going to go through what's to come, whatever happens. We've got to really believe that. Do you really believe it? I hope you do. I'm sure you do. You know, brethren, talks about don't be afraid of evil tidings. Well, we're going to see and hear plenty of evil tidings. We've heard some already. But our hearts should be steadfast, trusting in the Lord. What happens to those who don't trust God? What will happen to those who don't trust God? What's going to happen to them? Who don't believe God? If you don't have your heart and mind set, it's going to be very discouraging and very difficult. And some start to wonder, well, where's God? Yeah, what's happened here? We have to trust God at all times, building our faith stronger and stronger and stronger, never ending, every day. Never wavering, always hanging on, tight. James chapter 1. in verse 2. Very familiar scripture, but it fits into the theme here, for brethren. James chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into different temptations. Hard to do that sometimes, isn't it? You know, I'm hurting, but I'm joyful. But you understand the intent of what it means. That can only come with faith and a spiritual understanding that all things work together for good to those who God has called according to his purpose. God has called you for a purpose. Verse 3 and 4. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. The patience, let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. God is working and he's dealing with us in our daily lives to help us and to mold us and to bring us close to him and to develop the character and mind of Christ. So you may become perfect and complete in everything. That's where we're going. That's where God is leading us. That's what he wants us to become. That's why he's involved in our lives. That's why we have to be renewed day by day, as I said, and ready, like the five wise virgins. They were ready. They had extra oil. Verse 7. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. These verses are the opposite of having your heart fixed. They're the opposite of establishing your ways with God. Yeah, we're strong. We're going to stay strong. We're going to get stronger. These are not just words. They're life for us. Let's go back to the book of Psalms again and see that having a strong faith and trust in God, it must be there regardless of the circumstances. I'd say that a couple of times. Doesn't matter what happens. Doesn't matter what falls down around you. Doesn't matter if we lose our lives. Doesn't matter if our family disintegrates or they get sick and they die. It matters, yes, but you know what I mean? In the long term, God's going to take care of it. And we have to live with it. Psalm chapter 56. Verse 3. David, what a wonderful man he was, in spite of all his problems, the things that happened to him. Be merciful to me, O God, for a man would swallow me up. His thoughts daily oppress me. My enemies would daily swallow me up, for they fight against me, O Thou Most High. Yeah, the world fights against you and me, doesn't it, brethren, in different ways. We just have to deal with it. Satan's behind it. He's our enemy. He's public enemy number one. Use that term. When we start getting afraid, if we ever do, there's a difference between being afraid and being concerned. When we start getting afraid, we trust in God. That's what David did. What happens when earthquakes hit everywhere? When extreme weather brings havoc everywhere? When the stock markets totally crash, when there's no more money, when food's in short supply, what about when the power grid goes off? What if there's anarchy in the streets, more wars break out, more disease epidemic, disaster after disaster after disaster? And it's going to affect our extended families and our children. So are we frightened yet? Are we shaking? No. No, we're not. Are we concerned? Yeah, of course we are. But that's when a strong faith that we have built up over time comes into play. We trust in God. Does it sound simple? It really is in some respects, and difficult to execute sometimes when things cave in around us. We've got to have it. It's got to be strong, brethren, concrete, tough. That, brethren, when you have that, is faith in action. Okay? Verse 4. In God I will praise his words. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do to me. God is for us. He is with us, with all of us, regardless of the circumstances, as I said earlier. God never forgets. God's not against us under any circumstances, even when we're having really bad hair days. You know, God did not call us to fail. He called us to be in the first resurrection. What can man do to us when you stop and think about it? What can he do? The worst they can do is kill us. And after that, it's in God's hands. And we can claim the promises that God made. Psalm 57, verse 1 and 2. He says, "Be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me, for my soul trusts in you. In the shadow of your wings will I make refuge until these calamities have passed over. I will cry to God Most High, to God that performs all things for me." Yeah, he does. All good things for you and for me. All the strength that we need, the help that we need, the encouragement that we need, the focus that we need, the wisdom that we need, the understanding that we need, doesn't come from us. I pray for wisdom and understanding and perception and the ability to comprehend at different levels all the time. When you call upon God, when you need that, he gives it to you. I've had that happen many times, countless times, really. God is telling us to stand fast and depend on him. And that takes a strong faith, especially during the days we are living in and the days to come. Brethren, the Passover is coming. And we need the precious sacrifice of Jesus Christ applied to our lives continually. We need to be renewed every holy day. We need to be reminded of our responsibility. We need to consider the plan of God and get wrapped up in it completely. We need to be developing the mind of Christ. And we need the faith of Christ to see us through the days that are ahead. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 22 for a moment as we wind things down here. Galatians 3 verse 22. "But the scripture has concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe." That's you and me. It is not the faith that we generate of and by ourselves. I think we all understand that. If you believe there is a God, you do well. Even the demons do, and they tremble. But faith of God is entirely different. The promise is given to those who believe that this is everything, because that the Spirit of God, that's what we need, that's what we have, that was what makes the difference with us. Verse 23, "But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up to the faith which should afterwards be received." So when did faith come? When did faith come for us? On Pentecost, with the Holy Spirit. Faith with the Holy Spirit is spiritual belief. And brethren, we were guarded, and we are guarded under the law, protected by keeping the Ten Commandments, keeping them well, and that really in the letter of the law as best we can. That protects you, and that's what guards you. And it's interesting, brethren, that's why there are still some good people in the world. There are still some good people in the world, because of those people who know part of the law and they adhere to it as far as they understand. I know some people like that in our family. Wonderful men and women. Don't understand the truth the way we do, obviously. Don't understand the truth, period. Don't have God's Spirit. But they believe, and they're very careful what they do and what they say and how they conduct their lives. I respect that. You have to. To have strong faith, we must be spiritually strong with God's law, with his truth, with his mindset, and with his Spirit dwelling in us. You know, brethren, when the Jews read the Ten Commandments, it's interesting when you break this down, it excludes Christ, doesn't it? Completely. When Catholics read the Ten Commandments, they exclude the Second and the Fourth Commandment. And when Protestants read it, the Sabbath means Sunday. You have to have God's version. That's what counts. That is what leads and guides us. the Holy Spirit will lead and guide us, strengthening our faith along the way. You have the Spirit of God. You are the children of God. You're not a 60, 70, or 80-year-old man or woman. You're a child of God. We're just children. And now we need to reach out and take that right hand of God the Father and have Him pull us along and help us and give us strength. Have Jesus Christ working in our lives, helping us to develop His mindset, to have the faith that He has. For that strong faith to develop in us, Christ had to come. Without the Holy Spirit, it does not work. With the Word of God and His Spirit, we can understand. Without it, we can't understand. It is God who gives us spiritual understanding and faith and wisdom and patience and all the things that we need. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, it says, if only there were such a heart in them. You can't have a spiritual heart and mind unless four things happen, brethren. You can't have a spiritual heart and mind unless four things happen. One, repentance, then baptism, then receiving God's Spirit, and having a circumcised heart. That's what it takes. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 9. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 9. He says, only take heed to yourself and keep yourself, lest be diligent, lest you forget the things which your eyes have seen, and that they depart from your heart all the days of your life, but to do them with all your soul, and teach your children, teach your sons and your sons' sons. Yes, take heed. The battle of our human nature is always raging. Satan's always out looking for us, always hunting, looking for an opening, trying to find a way in, trying to get us confused, trying to get us off track, trying to move us away from the truth. It's always raging, and it chips away at our faith and can cause doubt, as it has done for many. We've fallen to one side and forgotten what they were taught. We can only pray that God will bring them back when the time comes. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Verse 32 and 33, if you turn there with me. It says in verse 32, you shall observe to do, therefore, as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. You shall walk in all the ways in which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live, and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you possess. Whatever you do, it helps to bolster and strengthen your faith, right? Whatever you do that, I'm saying, helps to bolster and strengthen your faith. Your resolve helps to build faith, your resolve, and your determination to keep going. God's with you. He knows we stumble. He knows we fall. He knows we make mistakes. But He's patient, understanding, and He loves you. Brethren, you can have the faith of God through Christ by keeping it strong and determined no matter what circumstances come your way. No matter what happens. So, brethren, in conclusion, may I say with all my heart to you, may God establish your hearts and minds as we prepare for the unfolding of the end time events.